hitting the reset button. Are you going to go for the full reset? Hard, soft? You be the decider. No, this isn't about electronics. It is about connecting the dots, and I'm the priest to do it with. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, and those dots are about the spiritual, the emotional, the physical, and everything in between. This is episode number 496 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as for those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
We're going to add one more dimension to all of the others. That's going to be the electronic dimension, okay? Yeah, you know, we connect the dots between the physical, the emotional, the psychological. We're going to add electronic today. No. This isn't going to be about some product review. I'm not going to be telling you about my latest acquisitions in the electronic world. I'm going to share with you something very fundamental to our existence, having to do with the world of electronics. And I know you're going to like this. And I want you to stay tuned for that stay tuned for that, because it's been bothering me for the last several days. And I need to get this out, especially with you, my Next Step listeners. But before doing that, I know the entire world is focusing in on Jerusalem and it being the capital of Israel. A lot of thoughts going back and forth from politicians, from statesmen, and so on, including religious leaders. But as much as that's been the world attention, here in Southern California, our attention has been consumed by wildfires, which are consuming the land and property, and it is horrific, to say the least. Yes, what you are seeing, what you have been seeing those last few days, is true. It is real. This place is going up in smoke. I do want to take this opportunity to thank all of you who got in touch with me via Facebook, via texting and emails and some calls. I want to thank you very much for your concern and for your prayers. We're doing okay. Thank God we're doing okay. Immediately in our family, my sister, my mother were evacuated from their house, my sister's family. And last night, my sister returned to her house, and hopefully, if all goes well, my mother will be returning. They weren't affected directly by the fires, but they got pretty close, and a lot of people that we do know were hit by these fires, and our prayers go out to everyone, because it is really, really horrifying in a true sense. It is scary when you see those fires, and because I think you get to the point where you realize that it's beyond your control. We are such controlling animals. We want to control everything. And then all of a sudden, it's beyond your control. That flame is coming. It's coming over the hill, and you see it. And there's really not much you can do except to run away, except to just get out of its path. And in a very quick way, you realize what's really important, because you have to come down to that decision. What do you take with you? What are the important things in life? And it's a very sobering moment, but let me just say thank you very much for all of your concern, and we feel your prayers, and we're very appreciative of everybody for their concern. With that being said, let me also say that if we get a chance, I do want to talk about the Jerusalem issue that's coming up, but not so much about should Jerusalem be the capital or not, but really what it means to us as spiritual beings. But today what I'm going to start off with, I told you, electronic connection. And I've been thinking about this for almost a week, because last week I went through some very, very difficult times. And I was literally plagued. Yeah, that's the word. It was like a plague. It just like hit me. that we are just really consumed with things that don't matter. All around us, things that really don't matter. And the things that do matter are the things like human compassion, love, our striving for peace, and really learning to get along with one another. And it just hit me that as a church, too, we've lost sight of what is important. I went to a few events where people were honored. Interesting, huh? The church is honoring people for what? Successful businessmen. That's nice. And we're very proud of people who have pulled up their bootstraps from nothing. They've created something. I always talk about that at funerals for that generation after the genocide, because now I think about 10, 20 years ago, we started doing the funerals for that generation, the next generation after genocide, the first generation. And in many ways, I do refer to them as the God generation. They basically took nothing and created something. And there's something to be said about that, about creating something. But what you do with that something is also important. In fact, it's fundamental, right? Throughout Scripture, we see about the use of talents, and Christ talks about this. But what you do with those talents is what's important. What you do with your life is important. And it was very disheartening to see when people are just basically commended for doing nothing more than adding a few extra zeros on the right side of the one. Basically going from 1,000 to 1,000,000 to 100,000,000 to $1 billion. And we applaud these people. I shared with you last week, right after Black Friday, when Jeff Bezos, right? He became a 100 billionaire. Yeah, his net worth exceeded $100 billion. Wow. I mean, it's beyond what you could imagine, what you can do with things like that. But it was late one night because I had gone through a lot. Last week was, I need to process it still, and I'm not ready to share everything with you except for the reality that we are in really sad times where in many ways we've lost sight of what's important. But I opened up Scripture. And as I've taught in our Bible studies, I've shared with you, to me, in Holy Scriptures, there is these three chapters, which to me, if everything else was lost, these three chapters, if they remained, would basically give you what Christ's message was about. It's at the foundation of what we call Armadoxy. And I'm talking about the Sermon on the Mount. You find that in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And I opened it up to that chapter because I needed to recharge the batteries. In fact, as I was thinking about how down I was, I just said, I need to read this. And as I read it, the word reset came to mind. Now, I want to share with you two types of reset. And this is what I meant by electronic. If you have a device, I don't know whether it's a computer, whether it's your cell phone, whether it's your stereo system or your television, there are different levels of resetting it. And one of the first ways that you troubleshoot an item, and trust me, being the guy who came up with the first electronic bulletin board for the Armenian nation back in 1988, and I worked in a small Apple II. This is the granddaddy of the Macintosh computer. I worked on this Apple II computer. And most of the time is troubleshooting because you've got so many different factors. It's pioneering. It's in a new era that you're doing this. And one of the first ways that you would troubleshoot something is you do a soft reset. Soft reset. The next level would be a hard reset, and then you'd get into the factory reinstallations. And then there's another one that people don't talk about. It's the complete, total reset. I call it the Lazarus moment. It's dying and then coming back to life, okay? Dying for 4 days and coming back to life. Let me explain to you. What's the soft reset? The soft reset is where, you know, I'm sure you've done it with your phone. You know, things are moving a little bit slowly. Things aren't working. Or maybe it gets frozen. Your screen on your computer gets frozen. A soft reset is basically restarting the device, turning it off, and then turning it back on again. And you see how things come up. And what this does is basically it gets rid of what's in the what's called the RAM, the random access memory, the things that are volatile. You get rid of those things. And I want you to think about that in terms of who you are, who we are. We slow down in life because we have so much bombarding us. We are a generation of information. And if you don't believe me, take a look at your local street, wherever you may be in this world right now. Just open up the window in your car, in your house, and look at people on the street. Have you noticed the curvature of the spine? Have you noticed that the set of scoliosis on people? Why? Because our heads are down looking at this little screen in our hands. We've basically become a consumer of information. And whether that information is a text message or the latest news that's coming in, a magazine that you're reading, a book that you're reading, our heads are down and we're basically consumed with this information coming in. And sometimes that news gets to be overwhelming, so much so that you need to run a soft reset. In other words, you need to just kind of get your mind off of things. Basically, shut down everything and kind of like compose yourself. This is what we do every night, right? Now, in a soft reset, what happens is that the data isn't, what's on your hard drive isn't removed, okay? So your memories and your feelings and all those are still there, but basically you're getting the stuff that is volatile, the stuff that is slowing you down out of the way. And we do this every night. It's called sleep. Sleep is basically a soft reset. We are resetting ourselves, a time to get to heal some of the things that have been happening. In fact, they're finding now that the dreams, how psychologically important they are that we dream, because they are our means of getting our psyche, getting our emotions back down to normal. So this soft reset is important, and we do this with our phones, with our computers, with our electronic devices. It's basically turning it off and turning it on again. The next reset is this hard reset. Now, the hard reset is a little bit more drastic. It's basically getting rid of the memories, getting rid of everything that you've kept. It's returning the device back to its factory condition. Now, there's various degrees. I know that there are ways of just doing these resets. But the true hard reset is getting it back to the factory condition. Do you remember when you got your device, whether it's a phone, a computer, your toaster, or whatever it may be, right? Yeah, toasters are, now they have computers in there too. Whatever that device may be. I saw a refrigerator with a computer. That was really cool too, yeah. Okay, so the hard reset is basically bringing back to factory conditions, the way it came out of the box. Now, this is not what sleep does to us, right? Sleep doesn't do that to us, because when you wake up in the morning, you still have memories of yesterday. You still have the issues of yesterday in there. But when you do a hard reset on a device, on your phone, it's basically getting it back to the condition it was when you first bought it and you took it out of the box. You do a hard reset on your computer. It's like erasing the hard drive, cleaning it up, and getting it back to the condition it was in when you first received it from the factory. Now, be careful what you ask for. You don't want to do this to your life, right? Because, you know, those items in life are very important. But you can understand that there is a need to do a bigger reset than a soft reset, right? And this is where we need to really focus in, because what I'm going to share with you, what I read in Matthew chapter 5, is really in between that soft and hard reset. But it's so important to do that hard reset every so often to get it back to factory conditions. What was life like before all this junk came in? When we were first programming computers, it was more popular back then because we were dealing with codes and things like that. It was interesting because there was an expression. It was called G-I-G-O, GIGO. It was garbage in, garbage out. And it's the this is not a major big thing, but it's important to mention because a lot of times people think that these electronic devices think on their own. No, they don't. They're only as smart as the people who program them and then what they learn after that. So what's happened, and I'm sure you've gone through this experience, you will search for something on the internet, and then the next thing you know, in your mail, in an ad next to it, you will see ads for like products, okay? So basically, the computer is learning what you have put in. Learning that you are interested. You're interested in that ballet. So it'll show you local ballets that are happening in your area. So it's learning what your interests are. It's scanning your keystrokes. And this is a learning process. When you do a hard reset, it's basically getting rid of all of that. Starting like the way it was when you got it from the factory. Now this is getting more and more difficult now. Why? Because of the cloud, because of cloud memory. So when you do factory resets, let's, for instance, think about a phone, right? You get a brand new phone. That's basically like a factory hard reset. Or you actually go through the steps and you bring it back to factory conditions. Well, now we have the cloud. And the cloud is up there, it's gathered information, and that is immediately put in. Once you get into your account, that stuff is coming in. So it's very difficult to delineate between these hard resets and soft resets these days because we have bigger factors to consider, and the cloud being one of those. Now, I want you to understand that what I'm talking about is not about electronics. It's about our lives. It's about who we are. Every day, we are consuming ourselves with things that really don't matter, and you all realize it. In fact, the church has realized this from the beginning of time. What do you think Lent is about? What do you think the season of Advent is about? We're in the season of Advent right now. What is this about? It's basically to do those soft resets, to realign ourselves, to understand what's important, to put in front of us what the purpose of all of this is. I mean, do you know what your phone is, your smartphone, right? First and foremost, it's a phone. Do you know that right now, probably, it's the least of the functions that we use? We text, we read, we get information, we talk to it. My little nephew was with us for Thanksgiving, and on Black Friday, he bought himself a little, what is it called, the Echo Dot, I think it's called, the Echo from Amazon. Cool device! We set it up in our house, and it was really nice. You talk to it, and it talks back to you. You say, what's the weather like outside? And it tells you the degrees and asks you where you are. It doesn't need to ask you because it knows where you are. Ah, that's cloud information coming in. That's not a factory reset because it came from a box, right, factory? But the cloud has informed it where you live, so it doesn't ask you, where are you, so that I may tell you what kind of what kind of weather you're having. With the Echo Dot, here's something fun if you have it. Ask it to recite the lyrics of Bohemian Rhapsody. Just ask it. Just say, what are the lyrics of Bohemian Rhapsody? And I won't say the name Alexa, because if I say it right now and you're close to the device, it will trigger your device. So go ahead and ask it to tell you the lyrics of Bohemian Rhapsody. It's fun. That one is a fun one. But basically, all of our devices are now farther and farther away from a factory reset. Now, I did tell you about a Lazarus reset, and that's the ultimate one. And you've probably, very few people have really experienced this, because nowadays there's really no need to do this. But every so often you will have a product which is so bad, it is so filled up with junk and garbage and everything like that, that they will, the manufacturer will ask you to remove the battery, the power pack. Because even when you turn it off during a soft reset, there are still little bits and pieces of information that are floating around inside of your computer. And so when you're going to be taking out the hard drive and you're going to be actually removing some of the hard equipment in there, you're getting closer and closer to what that original factory state was. And that one I call the Lazarus reset. Think about that. Lazarus was dead. He was dead. Everything, he had died. That means the cells were decomposing. That means he was out completely. And Jesus brings him back to life. I want you to meditate. What do you suppose life was like for him when he came back? Now he's picking up bits and pieces from here and there. What was life like when he came back? There's a lot of issues about coming back from the dead, which make you think like, okay, was it a suspended animation? Was it sleep? Now, don't go there. Don't go there at all. What I'd like you to think about the opportunity to start fresh, to start brand new, to start with a factory reset, to start with a soft reset, if you need to, with a Lazarus reset. Because what I'm going to read to you right now is from the Sermon on the Mount. And it was so important that I heard that night, that I was drawn to tears, because it made me realize that all of us are ready for a reset. And we need to focus in on what's important in our life. The Sermon on the Mount begins with something that is called the Beatitudes, the happiness clauses, those things that are important, told to us by Jesus Christ. God incarnate, love incarnate, is now telling us what's going on. Now, I want you to listen to this, because last week, as I told you, I had been through the ringer, and I'll share with you a little bit more right after the song today. But for right now, I want to just share with you these few verses, because after going through the ringer, I really did get not only my batteries recharged, it was like doing a reset. It was like hitting the reset button. It was like removing everything and starting brand new, because it gave me the chance to focus in on what is important. This is a reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus continues this with an opportunity for us to share in this beautiful invitation. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if that salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's take a break right now. I'm going to play a song that comes from my reset era. If I was going to go back and do a soft, in between a soft and a hard reset, this is where I'd like to go.
I listen to the wind of my soul. Where I'll end up, well, I think only God really knows. I've sat upon the setting sun, but never, 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 never. I never wanted water once. Never, never, never. I listen to my words, but they fall far below. I let my music take me where my heart wants to go. I swam upon the devil's lake, but never, 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 never. I'll never make the same mistake. No, never, never, never.
We're talking about resetting. Going back to earlier conditions, soft reset, hard reset. Is it possible to go back to factory conditions? You'd be surprised. Bear with me for right now. But this was a way for me to go back to an earlier form. Cat Stevens, a wonderful, wonderful artist back in his time. We used to just eat up so much of his music and his lyrics and sit there and play. I remember one of my Cat Stevens albums getting to being white. You know, most of the albums, most of them, not all of them. I actually had a red album, but most of the albums were pressed on black vinyl. And the more you played them, the more worn out they would get. And you'd get the popping and the hissing. Our Cat Stevens albums were like that, too. This is called The Wind. It's from earlier Cat Stevens, and I hope you enjoyed it. Says a lot. And it's a factory reset day today. It's definitely, if we can't get to that point, it's definitely nice to talk about even a soft reset that gets us to a better and nicer condition.
Blue be my love.
Okay, well, I hope you're still with me. I told you it would be about electronics, and it would be different than just telling you all the good devices that are out there. No, now this wasn't about making a Christmas wish list. Oh, I could give you one if you're interested. Just ask me. I'll give you a list, and it's out there. But this is about something deeper. It's about what we say every week about apostle, right? Apostolic evangelism for what? An electronic world, an electronic universe. You know, it's an exciting place because you have opportunities. And certainly this metaphor about a reset fits us uniquely as human beings because we go through these reset moments, right? Every night when you fall asleep, you're doing a soft reset. You wake up with memories. You wake up with basically your hard drive still in place. but your random access, the stuff that is consumed, that is filled up, that you can't remember from minute to minute, those things are just basically thrown out. I mean, think about today, how many times you picked up your device, you stared at a screen and you looked at new information, you learned the news. Have you remembered it? What do you remember? What are the important things? What really is necessary to remember? Like I was thinking about that yesterday as we were watching the news reports about all these devastating fires, and it was 24/7, the news. Our major networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, the on-air networks, Fox, these were all broadcasting 24/7 without going to commercials even. Because why? They had to give us information that was affecting us immediately. We were seeing road closures. We were seeing where the fire was headed. It was going over the freeway. Would it hit us? This is vital information for what? For survival. Yes, this is information that you need. And so the news service plays an important role. Now, there is another section to the news that really doesn't affect us the way that we would think. Like, for instance, Jerusalem. Today, the Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Now, it's important news. There are ramifications to it. There's interesting things. But it doesn't affect the average person on a one-on-one relationship as it would, as the fire news would if you were sitting in the middle of Los Angeles, right? Think about anything that's on the world stage, right? Al Franken's resignation. It's going to affect. There's going to be ramifications, but it doesn't affect you on a one-to-one as, say, the news about the weather in your particular area. The news about traffic down the street from you, right? Because you're going to go in the morning, you're going to get in your car, you're going to be driving. You need to know that news. And so, in a sense, there are different levels of information that are being passed on to us. Certain information that you can take or leave. Other information that is vital for your survival. Yeah, for your survival. And so, at night, when you do a soft reset, you go to sleep, you wake up with information that is pertinent, that is important to you, where you're living, where you're looking, so that it's not like when you wake up in the morning, you have to look out the window to figure what city you're living in, or to figure out what street you're living on, right? You wake up in the morning, you open your eyes, and you kind of got an idea of where you're at. You may be, there's times, of course, there's occasions where you may be confused about this or that, particularly after seeing a dream. But quickly, you adjust, and you know where you're at. Now, after a hard reset, that's impossible to do. The hard reset takes you to factory conditions. That takes you to when you were born. That takes you when you came out of mommy's womb. Now, what did you bring with you out of mommy's womb? Well, you did bring certain bits and pieces of information that take you away from the Lazarus moment, right? Because you haven't unplugged everything. You were connected to mommy. And so you've got DNA. Inside that DNA, there's all kinds of bits and pieces of information about who you are. And as we're learning more and more about molecular science, we're understanding that inside those DNA molecules also are transferred not only the genes that define whether you're going to have blue eyes, brown eyes, brown hair, whatever it's going to be, but also you have bits and pieces of memory that are coming out, right? And we're understanding that trauma, for instance, can be passed along through the DNA and so on. So it's not a Lazarus reset that you're doing, factory reset. But factory reset is possible. And it's not as weird as you think it is. In fact, the Christian term for it is, come on, think about it. Factory reset coming out of your mommy's womb. What is the factory reset for Christians? Being born again. That's the factory reset. Okay, so a born again experience is to start brand new. It's to basically clear off the hard drive, go to factory reset conditions. Now, this is easier said than done. Let's be honest about it, because we are human and we still tap into memories. But a true born-again experience, and when we talk about forgiveness, this comes right into play with that. It means a full, hard factory reset. And that's what Christ gives us this opportunity in the Christian faith. That's the gift that Christ gives us, is an opportunity to do a full factory reset. You're starting brand new. You are born again. That born-again experience, as we say in the Armenian Church, it's through the holy font of baptism. You are basically, you're drowning inside that water, and you come out of that water. The font is the womb of the church. It's the beautiful, glorious womb of the church, where you have a chance to start again. And the true believer who understands this idea of being born again understands that now he or she has an opportunity to look at the world in a new manner, to basically understand that life is ahead of him or herself, not behind, but a chance to start again. And how beautiful is that? That's the factory reset. That's the hard reset. And really, we're at that point right now in all of our lives. We've filled ourselves with all of this consumption of information. And it's great. You can pull off a soft reset. But to do a full factory reset, it means not just reading those scriptural passages, but to apply them to our lives. I shared with you briefly earlier that I had gone through some difficult times last week, and among them was this conversation that I had with a clergyman who went on to express some very foreign ideas, foreign to the Christian understanding of love. And in that discussion, in that conversation, he was very quick to quote Orthodox theologians. Orthodox theologians. That's interesting, right? And in this, he reminded me that so-and-so, this Orthodox theologian, who he held in high regard, had said that, remember, God is love. But that doesn't mean that love is God. And it troubled me. It troubled me for a moment, because now we're basically getting into semantics. We're getting into words. And a true Orthodox theologian wouldn't revert to those kind of words. But this is what was thrown out at me. And it gave me an opportunity to think about it a little bit. I didn't spend too much time. But in so thinking, I said, how illogical is that? How does that go against what the gift that God has given us, this ability to reason? I'll never forget, you want to talk about Orthodox theologian, I'll talk about Armenian Orthodox theologian, Archbishop Didon Nersoyan. And I've shared with you in the past how unique opportunities I've had, including one in which we spent 2 days together. And I'll never forget when I was talking to him about the idea of mystery, about Chorut Chorhin, about the idea of mysticism and everything. And he said, the gift that God has given us is this ability to reason, the ability to think, and we shouldn't be scared to think. Those were his words. Don't be scared. Okay, so let's push that a little bit. What do you mean? A is equal to B, but B is not equal to A? I'm sorry. You can't go against the rules of nature. Right? I was teaching Bible study last week, and we were talking about gifts of the Spirit. We were talking about St. Peter's writing in chapter 1 of his first letter. And there he talks about the impartiality of God, that God treats us all the same equally. And Jesus tells us, right? God makes his sun shine on the good as well as on the bad. He makes it rain on the good as well as on the bad. God doesn't play these partialities, these biases, right? This is Jesus telling us. St. Peter talks about the impartiality of God. And so I was thinking, like, can we think of impartialness in the real world? Well, the only way to be impartial, the only way that you can't make that thing is to go by certain restrictions that are given to us by nature, right? Like, for instance, gravity, right? It doesn't matter if you're black, white. It doesn't matter if you speak Spanish or Armenian. It doesn't matter how much money you make, if you're poor or rich. You will come back to Earth if you fall off of a ladder. If you fall off of a plane, you're going to make a big splat on the Earth because gravity pulls you down. There's no avoiding this law. Gravity pulls you down. Pulls you towards the center, right? That's just the law. That's a rule. It's basic physics. More crudely, think about a car salesman, right? Car salesman, you go up to him and there's certainly partiality if your friend looks at you differently. But he cannot fudge with the reality, the physical realities of the car. In other words, he can't change the rules, the physical attributes of the car, based on whether he likes you or doesn't like you. He could change and play around with the price, but that's not a physical attribute, right? So if you go up to him and you say, what is the gas mileage of this car? He could tell you that it gets 25 miles to the gallon in the city, and it gets 30 miles to the gallon on the highway. And when his friend comes up, he can't change that and say, well, you know what? This car really gets 35. And on the highway, it gets 40. He can't change that. Or if an enemy comes up, he can't change it and say, well, you know, it only gets 15 miles to a gallon. No, this is a physical attribute of the car. Life has certain physical dimensions of it. Gravity pulls you. It pulls you down. It's the reason why we're not all floating around. That's a physical attribute. And so too, logic demands that we obey certain structures and certain themes. And to me, mathematics, isn't that the language of God? A equals B, therefore B equals A. Nerses Shnorhali writes, the name of love is Jesus. Seranun Jesus. Now, if the name of love is Jesus, therefore love is the name of Jesus. Right? Pretty basic. And so the trouble we have is when we don't do a factory reset and we start believing all of these things because they were given to us by people of authority. And I don't know where this guy was coming from when he shared that with me, but I know what he was trying to get at. He's trying to get me to understand something in a different way. No, love is pretty pure. It's pretty pretty intense. And of course, it's all in the sense that you understand it. As I've shared with you many times, to us in the Armenian Church, we don't have that understanding of love, three-dimensional. Agape, eros, filial. We have a word called ser, love. And maybe it's not by accident that we have left it alone. We have an opportunity to understand it in its full capacity as having elements of eros, of filial love, of having agape in there. And perhaps even more. Perhaps even more. But for right now, we're just talking about the impartiality of God. And we're talking about the impartiality of love, about the opportunity that we have when we understand God as something greater than ourselves. And so too we understand love is something greater than ourselves. Something that is out there, that has to be given, that has to be absorbed, that has to be taken in. that has to be practiced in our lives. Now, what did I describe? God? Did I describe love? Absolutely. You see, there are certain things that just can't be, that you can't change. And if A equals B, then B equals A. Yet that's part of definition. That's what we define. And what is A, what is B, are things that cannot be defined. Aha! You like how that all works out? Can you define God? If you can, it's not God. Can you define love? Well, if you can, it's not love. Love is all-consuming. It's all around you. You could define attributes of God. You can define attributes of love. But what is love? I mean, if you have the answer, you could sell it to Hallmark, I guess. And many people have. But you and I both know that that's not all there is to love, right? Look what's going on in the world stage right now. Today, President Trump declared that Jerusalem is recognized as the capital of Israel. And people are saying, well, so what? Other people are saying, oh, there's going to be so much turmoil about this, including the Armenian Patriarchate, who lives there, who's actually one quarter owner of the old city, right? To put it bluntly. Right? People who know what's going on are telling him, don't do it. And he's saying, okay, I'm going to do it. Okay. Well, we know these kind of things are happening. This is what's called politics. And you listen to it, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Al Franken, who submits his resignation to the Senate, pulls off this quote. He pulls off, and let's see, who did he attribute it to? He said, for Paul Wellstone. He says, politics, Paul Wellstone told us, is about the improvement of people's lives. Let me repeat that, okay? Politics is about the improvement of people's lives. Now, do you understand what I was saying about the reset, the need to press that reset button? Since when? At some point, we lost track of what was important. At some point, Jesus said, these people are important. The poor, the lonely, the sick, the mourning, the diseased, those people who are persecuted. This is where we need to put our attention. At some point, we changed that. Where we said, those people aren't important. They're more important people. The bankers, the people of power, the politicians, the people who deserve our applause and our connection. And what happened? As a church, we refused the words of Christ and we went on basic political power. And so we applaud these people who have no connection to spiritual oneness, wholeness. People who have no business in that beatitude. And we see that the words of Jesus are basically to one side, and these beatitudes, these beautiful beatitudes, are basically things that Sunday school students learn, they recite, they reiterate, but don't understand that there's a connection to our lives in a daily context. In other words, for us as Christians, our primary objective is to tend to the poor, is to look at the sick, to look at the diseased, to look at people who are being persecuted, and to be standing with them. Instead, we are applauding people of power, people of influence. And so what did Al Franken this morning quote? He quoted a quote from Wellstone where it says, politics is about improving people's lives. I'm sorry, my friends, politics is not about that. Christ is about that. Christ Church is about that. Christ has always been about giving us life and giving us that life abundantly. And if we've lost that, then we've lost the privilege of being called Christian. We've lost the privilege of belonging to the family of Christ. And once we do that, we're out. And so it makes sense at that point for us to applaud the politician, for us to applaud the banker, the insurance man who is selling more and more insurance and has attained this place of prominence where 1 billion million is not enough, 2 million is not enough, but all he has learned to do is invest and invest and invest. So his portfolio expands, but his portfolio of compassion is empty. His compassion has deflated. And guess what? This is where the church should be talking, should be directing, and instructing, and instead we are on the wrong side once again. We're standing and applauding people who have made it rather than saying that you have made it, therefore you now have an obligation to help, to do something in this world, to make a difference in this world. This morning, one of our listeners sent me a clip of Catholicos Aram making a proclamation. I will put it on show notes. I will. I personally was offended by it, but I'll put it on the show notes. Catholicos Aram talking about doing this and that. And here's the operative word. We should do this. We should do that. You, as Catholicos, have the opportunity to do it. And are we doing it? That's the question that we need to be asking. We have a lot of people who pay lip service to the good, but with their actions are not doing it. And the good is not about... it's not about following a list of 10 commandment procedures. Yeah, that's great. But it's about doing. It's about helping. It's about nurturing. It's about providing, of sharing, of implementing the love that is in our hearts. So do you need a factory reset? How about a soft reset? I'm going to leave you with that thought. And let you decide which button you push. I'll tell you what the church needs. I think we're ready for the factory reset. We are ready, so ready, for a major factory reset. As for each and every one of us, let our conscience be our guide. Let us decide today. And I will put on our show notes today a link to the Sermon on the Mount. If you do nothing else this Advent season between now and Christmas, reset yourself, a soft reset at the very least, by reading the Sermon on the Mount. The piano player has snuck into the studio. Well, you know what that means. Susie is here to make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple moments.
Here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you to all of you for listening to us, first and foremost, right? If you didn't listen to us, you wouldn't hear the rest of all this. And my thanks for all of your support, your dear prayers. I hope you're having a great Advent season. This is a time to reset and get back to basics so that when we approach Christmas, we can really take to heart the meaning that Christ is born and revealed. Let me tell you about a couple things that are coming up on our calendar. This Sunday, I'm going to be at the St. James Armenian Church in Los Angeles. That's the one by the airport, by LAX. Also coming up in January, couple big events I want to share with you. One of them is January 13, 14, 15. It's our annual Martin Luther King retreat, and that's going to be up at Zaka Lake. It's like mid-California, right in central California. We'll be getting together around the theme of sound and silence, having to do with Martin Luther King Jr.'s profound statement that in the end, it's not the voices of our enemies that will be remembered, but it is the silence of our friends. So you won't want to miss this. This is a great opportunity to come and really wind down. This year we're going to be doing it at a rather rustic location, Zaka Lake. It's not going to have all the amenities, and that also plays into the whole idea of really retreating, getting away from everything. From what I understand, there's not, I hate to admit this, there's not even internet service. Oh, what are we going to do? I think what are we going to do? We'll figure it out. Anyway, if you can join us, do go on our site, inissues.org, and you can register right away. If you need a scholarship, please let us know. We have funding and available for people who would like to come but unable to participate because of money. So just let us know. And, of course, all of your requests are confidential. Then coming up at the end of January, January 27th, 28th, I'll be up in Vancouver, British Columbia, visiting and sharing with our dear friends up in Canada, across the border. Yeah, just not a long way across the border, right across the border. I believe it's the St. Vartan Armenian Church we'll be at. Going to be speaking there Saturday night and Sunday morning, participating in the Divine Liturgy. So look forward to seeing all of you up there, too. Coming up in March, we have the Reclaim 2018 that will be in Burbank, California. This year, it is about exploring the creative spirit, actually celebrating and exploring the creative spirit. We've got a great lineup of speakers. It's a 3-day conference you won't want to miss. Last year, I remember I told you, and then right afterwards, I couldn't help but say, I told you so. People said, when are you going to do it again? Okay, we're going to do it again. March 2nd, 3rd, 4th. Beg, borrow, steal, whatever it takes to get out here. If you need a scholarship for that one too, we should have some funding available. Just let us know. So that's about the first part of the year. We have, of course, later in the year, we've got the Sardarabad exhibition, and we're going to be going out to Sardarabad, where the first Armenian Republic began, actually. And, there'll be more about that coming up as we get closer to it. Let's see. That's about it for our announcements. I want to ask you to keep us in your prayers. We do have our Verdugo Promise going on. It's more of a local event, but what we do is we provide meals for families in the area, and it's during the Advent season. Not much more appropriate gift than you can give than the gift of food and companionship. That's the Verdugo Promise. We kick it off this coming Sunday. We started off the Bible studies for the teens. That began with a bang. It was great. We started off last Friday, and looking forward to our second session coming up this Friday. And, of course, our regular Monday night Vespers and Bible studies continue. So, basically, we've got a real full house of stuff going on. So, do connect with us. The easiest way is on Facebook, at In His Shoes, or at Epostle on Facebook. And, of course, at the mothership, inhisshoes.org. Yeah, what is Epostle? Epostle is apostle with an E. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I've got to tell you, I enjoyed it immensely. It was great unfolding a metaphor that I hope you will take to heart. Resetting, that's what it's all about. Okay, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, let me tell you, we'd love to hear from you. feedback@epostle.net is our address. feedback@epostle.net. for the wonderful crew who put today's show together. Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off-balance top visits.